Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to iPod UCast, back by popular demand. We are here to bring you our discussion on whatever the hell is on our mind. This time around, it's going to be Harry Potter.
Since the new movie's just come out and everything.
Exactly. Going through the window of who's with me this time around, of course I'm Smurf. Joining me are Anne.
Hello.
And Catherine.
Hi.
How is everybody doing this fine, fine evening?
What you mean, this fine, windy, rainy, cold evening?
I know, it's July, isn't it?
If that's the evening we're going off, I'm all right. But apart from the weather, like, it's a bit crap.
It's not.
In the summertime, when the weather is shit, we can stay in bed and just... Yeah, it's going to be one of those shows. All right. Since we said we're going to be talking about Harry Potter... Who wants to go first on how they first got into Harry Potter?
Well, with me and Catherine, it was both the same. We watched the first movie, didn't we?
Yeah. And then we kind of saw the trailer for it and thought, ooh, that looks good.
And then after we watched that, I bought the books.
Yeah.
The ones that were out at the time.
Yeah, the ones that were out at the time.
Right.
And we just thought, we went from there, didn't we?
Yeah.
Fair enough. For some reason, I thought that you used the books first, and then the movie started coming out. I don't know why I thought that. I mean, obviously for some of them, because you know you had like all the books before all the films had come out. So.
No, we saw the first movie before we did anything.
So this was kind of the two of you and your mum go to the cinema watch Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah, the same. We did that with all of them, didn't we?
I think
there's only two that I haven't seen with you in the cinema, isn't there, Catherine? Mind you, that's one now with the new movie coming out. There's only one that I haven't seen with you in the cinema, isn't there?
And that was the part seven. It was film seven, part one.
One before that.
Deathly Hallows, part one. We saw that together.
Yeah, no, but I didn't see that with Catherine until then, but the one before that, I'm sure I didn't see that one in the cinema with her.
Oh, The Half-Blood Prince, that's right.
I don't think you did, now you've mentioned that.
Because yeah, we got that copy off George, didn't we?
We did.
George. Yeah, we got a completely legit copy off George. We borrowed a DVD off a friend.
while it was still at the cinema.
Shh.
No one heard a thing.
I knew the MK had come in handy. I'm so happy I found this software. Just a little sidebar. Can you hear it okay, the keyboard?
Yeah, we're hearing everything on the keyboard.
Catherine, you?
Yeah.
Okay. Alright. With me it was pretty much the same thing as well. I can't remember who suggested, maybe it was my mum, I don't know. But I think it was all five of us went to go see Philosopher's Stone at the cinema. And we saw part two in the cinema, and I didn't see any of the films until, what's the third one called?
Prisoner of Azkaban.
Come on, thank you. It was on, like, ITV, and the seventh book had already come out by then. That's the big gap between me seeing the films. And then, Catherine, you've got them all up.
Yeah.
But I say it all, of course. Not all out. And yeah, I think we borrowed them off you, didn't we? When me and Anna were still living together in the flat.
Yeah,
I think so, yeah.
We just kind of caught up from there watching Order of... No. Goblet of Fire, that's the fourth one. Then it's half... No. Why am I getting these... We sort of Order of the Phoenix.
Goblet of Fire, Order of Phoenix.
Half-Blood Prince, Deathly Hallows.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to ask this one first. Which was your favourite movie?
That's hard. I think that's too hard. I don't really have a favourite me. I just kind of like them all because of... Each film's got like a... They bring a different twist to Harry Potter.
Yeah, they've all got so separate stories and how they bring in the environment and the whole universe and the magic and everything with the unicorns.
Yay.
Because like the first one is pretty light and carefree, well, relatively.
Hmm.
And the second one is more of that, but it's a little darker. If I remember.
Yeah.
Because that's the guy who first meet Tom Riddle, isn't it? And we realise, oh God, that's Voldemort.
Yeah.
So he's a little darker, especially when you got like Hermione's turned to a statue.
Yeah.
That lot of stuff. Half Blood Prince, I think, is the darkest of all of the movies.
I would say that, yeah.
Twisted and violent. I mean, look at the Sectum Sempra curse.
Oh, that's a horrible curse.
I know, it's just it's like Wolverine and Freddy Krueger have double teamed here. It's like, shoom, shoom.
Yeah.
Hack and slash. I think, alright, if we can't say favourite movies, what was like some of your favourite scenes from movies?
Mine's got to be one of the scenes from Part 2. It's the one where Ron and Hermione finally kiss.
Oh, I see, from Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Yeah.
We'll say, spoiler alert, we are going to be talking about them all in depth, so be forewarned, we will be mentioning every aspect of Harry Potter that we can think of, including the newest movie. So if you haven't seen it yet, just be advised. Carry on. I'm going to put a little disclaimer in the show notes as well, so when people download it, they can read it, but just in case people don't read them. Carry on.
I think that's got to be one of my favourite scenes. Then you've got another one. Most of my favourites are from Deathly Hallows Part 2. Because the one, I know this is going to sound very strange and weird, but the one where Harry's walking into the Great Hall and finding out who's dead.
Oh, that was...
I don't know why that's one of my favourites, but I don't know, there's something about it.
It's the way it's filmed, with it's Fred, isn't it, the Weasley?
Yeah.
George got the hook. Yeah, so Fred's the one that got offed. I was wondering... Yeah. Before we saw the movie, I think I mentioned this to you, Anne. I'm not sure about you, Catherine, but I'd said, how are they going to depict the Weasley death? Because I couldn't remember which twin got it. So how are they going to depict that? Because in the book, I mean, we've all read the books as well, haven't we?
Yeah.
Harry witnesses it, doesn't he?
And yeah, it does.
Like something like he can't. He basically in his mind, he's how is everything not just stopped because this has happened, you know?
Mm.
And you. In a movie, that kind of scene played out. I saw it in a kind of slow motion. He gets hit and it's like, no! It's like, you know, that type of thing. But the way it was done, I mean, obviously you've got a creative license and with movies and things. And that was so well done because Harry's off in his own little thing, finding the Horcrux, that he's lost touch with everything that's happening in the big battle. Everyone's fighting for him and the world, basically.
Mm.
So seeing Fred like that, because Ron's there as well, isn't he? He doesn't know Fred's been hit.
Yeah, Ron's helping try to find the Horcrux, and no, Ron was trying to find the tooth.
Yeah. He was in the Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah, but
yeah, he was trying to find the tooth, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he wasn't there when Fred got hit. So when Harry, Ron, and Hermione all walked in, they all saw Fred for the first time since he'd been hit, and Ron running over. It was a great way of showing it. Because if it had done it the way the book, I mean, obviously they're going to miss things from the book into the movie, and that would have been, it might have gone on a little too long, and it might have been a bit overdone, I think is the word I want to use.
Yeah.
But that way it was just a nice, because if you haven't read the book, you're not expecting that.
Yeah.
You're not expecting, I mean, it's bad enough in the first one, one got the, you know, George got the hole in the ear, you know, it comes up like Mick Foley. Or what does he say? He's saint-like.
Then he comes up with I'm holy.
The whole world of hole-related ear jokes, and you go with saint-like. It's pathetic. We'll say, we saw this on the Midnight Lodge as well. We were like one of the first few, well, I'll say first few, the first few million people in the world to see it. And because we booked our tickets in advance, we got to see part one for free beforehand as a kind of refresher and a catch-up, so some of the dialogue's still fresh in our heads. So, going off the part two, well, do you have any other favourite scenes, or does Anne have any to chime in with?
think quite a few of my favourite scenes were from part one, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like the look on Hermione's face as she was having to put that memory charm on her parents, that memory thing on her parents.
That's at the very beginning.
Yeah.
When
you say part one, I keep thinking you mean Philosopher's Stone. Death and Hallows part one, right? Okay.
Yeah. Just sort of, as they do little things like they put that, she puts that charm on her parents, and the look on her face, and, like as Ron leaves as well.
Yeah. Because I mean, because it's not just their making them forget about her. Because if I remember it in the book, it's like in case something happens, in case she doesn't come back, she'll have to put them through this loss in the magic world that they have basically nothing to do with. They know.
Yeah.
They're not like the Dursleys. They know about it and they're accepting of it. They don't fully understand it. Whereas like,
yeah.
It's like Vernon Dursley knows about it but don't give a shit and things at all.
Yeah.
It's like my dad with wrestling. It's like, I know you like it, but I don't give a fuck about it. I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah.
That was a well done scene. Speaking of my dad, actually, I was talking to him about Harry Potter. He said one of his favourites was in the first movie, Philosopher's Stone, when they're looking for the key, when they're down with all the keys flying around.
Yeah.
And because when you're in the cinema, you've got all the big surround sound system because all the keys are flapping all the way around you.
Mm.
So that was really good, Anna. So imagine you seeing that in 3D with the depth thing.
That would be an epic.
Yeah, it would. Because I mentioned the scene in Deathly Hallows Part 2. I'm not sure what it is. Basically, the protective bubble shield. I think it's the Patronus. All the Patronuses basically make a big shield so the Dementors can't come in all at once. And eventually all the Death Eaters blow it up. It's basically burnt magic falling on the floor, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And it, because of the depth in the 3D, you're almost swatting at it.
Yeah, I almost did a few times.
Yeah, which is what Avatar came out. I mean, Big Daddy Dummy on the Oshop, you mentioned, you know, he's swatting all these enemies and shit, because, you know, that's the big weakness of the D3D. It's not like the cheesy stuff from the end, but oh, here's a piece of cheese coming at you, whoa! Watch it.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, you know, you lose yourself in the moment, you think, oh, Christ, it's falling on me. Oh, wait, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Which is a little side note, me and you have talked about this Halo movie, haven't we had a potential for a Halo movie?
We have, yeah.
Yeah. How great would it be to have Guilty Spark in 3D floating out of the screen?
It would be quite cool.
You will fear my laser face. Pew. But back to Harry Potter. Some of my favourite scenes, I liked it in the Philosopher's Stone. It's one of those things, one of the rare moments to shine that Ron gets throughout all the movies, actually, when they're playing the giant game of wizard's chess, and he realises he's got to have to sacrifice himself so Harry can get to the end of the board game and
defeat Voldemort.
Well, just so he can get through the game and onto the next part, because if you don't win this game of chess, he's not moving on. And he realises his knight needs to die so Harry can take the king and win the game. So it's basically... I've got to do this move. He'll do this and take me. Harry, you do this and win. And Hermione wants to run over and like comfort him or whatever, but don't move, that'll be our move.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they planted the seeds fairly early on for the Ron and Hermione thing.
I'm just gutted we had to wait till the last movie for it to all happen.
I'm not, because if they did it too soon, there wouldn't be much of a build-up and a payoff in the last one. And it seemed to me in the last one, the kiss kind of came out of nowhere. It was just that big... I mean, the kill... What was the tiara?
Yeah.
Was it the diadem? Yeah.
Yeah, it was the diadem.
Yeah, and the...
I thought in the chamber they got rid of the cup.
Yeah, in the chamber it was the cup, the diadem. The diadem was what Harry was looking for, the...
Right.
It was in the trying to stop him.
The room of requirement.
Yeah, the room of requirement.
That's where the diadem was, yeah. In the chamber secrecy, you're right, it was Hufflepuff's cup. And they didn't actually mention that it was Hufflepuff's. Did you notice that?
Yeah, it was a bit of a random cup, wasn't it?
Random trophy. Did you mention it's the cup of Hufflepuff? Or if there was like a badger on the cup or something to get the...
Yeah.
The observant viewers, oh, it's Hufflepuff. Because there was something represented for every house in Gryffindor. And in,
yeah.
Because, you know, for Hufflepuff, it was the cup. For Slytherin, it was the locket. For Ravenclaw, it was the diadem. And for Gryffindor, it was Harry.
No, Harry was the one he was never meant to make.
Yeah, I know, but he was...
No, Harry was never meant to be made. Voldemort didn't even know he had made Harry.
Yeah, I know, but I was just saying, it's like every house of Gryffindor, of Hufflepuff.
But no, there was something else of Gryffindor's.
No, because the sword of Gryffindor, they could destroy.
There was the book, the ring, the necklace, the cup, the diadem, the snake, and Harry.
What was the necklace? Oh, right, that was the
one that they carried round.
Yeah, that's right, okay. Yeah, and Nagini, that was another one, yeah.
I don't like Nagini.
Yeah. You jumped a few times when Nagini went to eat.
Yeah, especially when he was trying to kill Snape. I didn't like that bit.
I did like the Snape memories. That was well done.
It was. That was very well done.
Because it didn't go into that much detail in the book, did it? If I remember right, in the book, it was basically the memory of Dumbledore-Snape exchange of, you know, you may have to kill me, and I want you to do it. That was basically the memory, if I remember right.
No.
I know
He had some of the childhood as well.
Yeah.
He had bits of his childhood. But the big thing for that it was... was the conversation that that Dumbledore and Snape had had.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
About keep Harry safe and.
Yeah, it was basically keep Harry safe, a bit of his childhood, and you may have to kill me, and I want you to do it. That was basically the thing. But the film went into so much detail about how in love with Lily Snape was, even to the point of his Patronus being a dog. And I like the fact it showed the bit from part one again of the door showing Harry to the Sword of Gryffindor, and it was basically Snape putting it there, helping him. And they didn't really mention because in the book didn't Harry have two kids?
Three.
Two sons, I mean.
Yeah, two sons and a daughter.
Yeah, and it was like. Albus Cerberus.
Albus Cerberus, James. I don't know what James Middleton is.
Sirius, it was after Black.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and we only saw Albus.
And no, he was there. The other one was there.
Yeah, but we didn't mention the name. Didn't mention James. The son James.
Yeah.
He just said to him, Albus Cerberus Potter, you are named for two of the headmasters of Hogwarts, and one of them was from Slytherin.
I actually thought they would have gone into more detail on that bit.
Yeah, I thought they would as well. I do like how they did make them look older. Not so much older that they weren't recognisable, but they looked the part.
Yeah.
I like how Ron had got fat.
That was so funny.
And what happened? Because I remember the conversation about Ron failing his driving test. Oh, no, he passed his test, but only just because he put some spell on the driving instructor.
Yeah.
I just read it as well.
Like, basically...
He didn't put this there.
I think, like, because he missed his mirrors or something, so he put a spell, so he'd forget that. But when he's out driving, he put a spell on the car, so he won't...
It's super sensory charm. That's... I remember that bit.
Yeah. They could at least got it, like, it was just fun. And Draco had a beard.
Yeah, he looks so weird.
It's weird, yeah. But kind of cute.
I hated it.
I liked how they were friends. Harry and Draco were friends and released them to each other at the end. Because his life and the group of requirement and everything.
Yeah.
I've just had a random memory of part two as well. Kids, students out of bed! Students out of bed! They're supposed to be out of bed, Mr. Filch.
Oh. No, she didn't call him Mr. Filch.
She called him Filch.
No, she called him an idiot.
Oh, you blithering idiot, yeah.
I love Mr. Filch. I will admit that. I do love Mr. Filch. Character. Especially at the end when he was trying to clean up all the destruction.
Just sweeping.
He's sweeping. The school's still slightly coming round around him. He's just stood there with his broom and himself looking his head, looking up and shaking his head and just carrying on sweeping.
On the spot. I like it when McGonagall sets the statues off to like, defend the bridge into Hogwarts, and she turns to Mrs. Weasley and is like, I've always wanted to use that spell.
Yes.
And Mrs. Weasley, what a badass with that one. Not my daughter, you bitch.
Yes. I'm so hoping for that bit to go in.
Fucking right.
The film would have been right if that bit hadn't been put in.
I forgot it was in the book, but as soon as you said it, I was like, oh, yes, I remember now. She's taking on fucking Bellatrix. What did you think of the bit with Hermione disguised as Bellatrix going into Gringotts?
I thought it was really good, actually. I thought they did it quite well. And I've got to admit, Hermione looked amazing in that outfit.
Yeah, oh, when she changed back into Hermione, yeah. And I like the coat.
Yeah, she looked amazing.
Yeah, you want that outfit, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
And I liked the coat Ron was wearing. It was like Edge.
It was. And Catherine has the foggiest who Edge is.
Is Catherine still there?
Yeah.
Catherine, just for the record, Edge is a wrestler.
I knew that much. I'm not that thick.
Just checking.
Shut it, you.
Yeah, it confused me a little bit because we didn't see Ron change. He was just suddenly there with a bushy beard, looking like Jesus. I was saying, but no, him. Then she came out like Bellatrix and I'm like, oh, okay, he's had the Polyjuice potion.
I will admit, that bit confused me as well.
Oh, it's not just me, okay then. Alright, we talked in quite a bit about part 2. On a scale of 1 to 10, what did everyone reckon? Catherine, I'll go with you first.
9.
You got a 9?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll elaborate.
I don't know. I think they could have extended a bit more on the 19 years later.
Yeah.
Well, they got everything that I wanted desperately to be in there.
I was playing Crank or Q Rank, whatever you call it, the iPhone app. They've got the Harry Potter version as well that's just come out. You've probably seen the scores coming up over your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you get it as well, Catherine. Right. One of the questions was which student went back to teach herbology? You know, it was...
Neville.
Neville, yeah. But they didn't mention it. It could have been a nice... There was quite a bit of conversation on the platform in the book. They could have gone into some of that. You know, Neville going back to teach herbology. You know, that's quite a big deal, you know. But, you know, I guess you can't have everything, I guess. But just something.
So the only thing I really desperately wanted in there was Potter Watch.
Potter Watch?
I thought Potter Watch was amazing.
You've lost
Never,
me.
In the book, you've got Harry... Well, no, it's just when Ron comes back and he's looking through the radio and he finds Potter Watch.
Potter's been sighted here.
Yeah, and Voldemort has been spotted here, and here.
Yeah. But sorry, at this point it was you know who, because that was another thing that confused me about part one. They didn't mention the taboo on saying Voldemort would bring...
Yeah, anyone that was hiding that said his name, if they had any sort of charms or anything around them, that instantly brought down all the charms, because that's also, there was a big thing on how they got caught. They didn't get caught the right way.
No.
What did they do?
They got caught because...
You mean when Hermione moulded his face?
Yeah.
When we were through the woods, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They didn't get caught the right way. They got caught because Harry said Voldemort.
Yeah.
That. And there was people nearby.
Yeah.
And they just sort of they did that whole flyy thing to them.
Yeah, and also when Lovegood, when Lovegood sells them out and they say Voldemort at his place, and they pop up. You know, they didn't make it clear. I mean, we knew obviously because we'd read the books, but they didn't make it clear for the non-readers that you can't say Voldemort because apparently Harry and Hermione were saying you know who. It's like, you've been calling him Voldemort for 4 years. Why are you suddenly saying you know who?
Yeah.
In the book, that kind of happened, and you know, Harry said, "Oh, I didn't even think about it, but I've got no problem saying Voldemort. No, don't Voldemort." And that's when they pop up. I'm like, oh shit. But like I say, you can't have him. All right, and on part two, on a scale of 1 to 10.
I quite liked it because it didn't completely those bits that was often bits that weren't explained. I'll have to give it a think.
I'm going to say I'm thinking a 9 as well. There's some bits that they didn't expand upon enough, and there's some bits that dragged out that really didn't need to be. Like they could have been cut.
Yeah.
It's like the some of the stuff like in the Room of Requirement that seemed to drag a little bit. Yeah, they could have cut 30 seconds, a couple of minutes from there, and it would have been fine. You know, just that kind of thing. But they could have gone into more detail with, you know, with other areas of the movie, like the 19 years later bit. Although I will say one thing, another bit I liked, when the Death Eaters started chasing Neville, and he collapsed the bridge.
Yes.
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 Before it, the bit before it actually, where they're running and two of them get burnt up because of the, they get killed because of the charms projecting it, and Neville's like, "Yeah, what you got now, losers?" Picking it up.
Yeah. Just one thing I do have to add in here, which is just going on about the, with the books.
Uh-huh.
There was some I was watching, BBC iPlayer the other day, and. One of the comedians on there said, I can't remember which one it was. So if anyone does sort of remind me, just like email the show and let us know. Right? He turned, he said, he was asked if he had read the Harry Potter books. He went, well, I haven't read them per se, but I've watched all the movies with subtitles on, so I suppose I have read them.
I got that to Facebook status, yeah.
That's why it had to be my Facebook status.
Yeah, I thought I was wondering something like Aaron had come out with or something, I don't know.
No.
This is like Mock the Week or something.
Yeah, it was Mock the Week.
Cool. I'm going to have to check that one out.
It was this week's Mock the Week. They were going on about Harry Potter with the new movie coming out and everything. And oh, it was just an epic line.
Did you get the tweet that I retweeted?
Which one?
I got it off Brian Carr from Geekspeak. Like Harry Potter had made like $43 million in like the 17 hours it had been released. You know, I got this tweet at like 5 in the evening. It made $43, basically, its opening night.
Yes.
But I reckon that was just... I reckon that was probably the midnight launch, that one... Because it was midnight around the world. It was like midnight GMT, I think. So at the same time we were watching it, there was people in America watching it at the exact same moment.
Yeah.
So I think that with... Let's say the average ticket price is about $10. It's around there, especially with the 3D. So about 4.3 million people went to go see Harry Potter on its opening night.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So yeah, we've got a bit of a juggernaut now with Harry Potter coming out. Which means Transformers might not be the top grossing movie of 2011.
No, it might not.
Which I'm okay with. I haven't seen Transformers yet. I want to go see it. I've heard conflicting things about it. I've heard people say this is the best of the three, and I liked the first two. I know there was problems with the second one, but I still liked it. So I can't wait to go see this one.
Well, we're going to have to go see it soon.
Yeah. So, Barrow's like for keeping movies around.
Yeah, it's a bit shit, really.
Although, if I saw it right, X-Men First Class is still there.
Is it?
Yeah, the poster was still there. Unless it went this past weekend, but when we went to go see Harry Potter, X-Men was still being shown.
What the hell?
I know. Thor didn't last that long.
No, it didn't, because the day we were going to go see Thor, it had gone out literally that day, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it was the X-Men instead, and Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Should we take a quick break and come back with more Harry Potter stuffs?
Yeah, sounds good.
Catherine?
Yeah?
I'm making sure you're still there, okay.
We never know with you, Catherine, you just, like, die on the microphone.
Thanks.
Don't mention it. Cheers for that.
You're welcome. All right, we'll take a quick break and back on the other side.
Like comics? So do we. At Buried Under Comics, we have all your comic book needs. The latest issues, a huge selection of back issues, hardcover collections, trade paperbacks, statues, and action figures. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff is ready to serve you. They'll help you find that rare back issue or find that gift for that special nerd in your life. Buried Under Comics. Visit us at 188 Middle Turnpike, Manchester, Connecticut, or call us at 860-643-7295. Thursday is New Comic Day. Buried Under Comics, where the walls are made of awesome.
I came to dance, 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 dance. I hit the floor cause that's my plans, 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 plans. I'm wearing all my favorite brands, 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 brands. Give me some space for both my hands, 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 hands. You, you, cause it goes on and on and on. Came to move, 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 move. Get out the way of me and my crew, 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 crew. I'm in the club, so I'm gonna do, 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 do. Just what the folk came here to do, 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 do. Yeah, yeah, cause it goes on and on and on.
And we're back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's iPod Ucast. Still here is Smurf, Anne, and Catherine. Say hello, guys.
Hello, guys.
Hello, ladies. Couldn't resist. We're still here talking about Harry Potter and the international phenomenon. That should be the next book. Harry Potter and the Cash Cow. All right. We've talked about some of the movies. Should we talk about some of the tie-ins? Because there's been video games for every single one of them. Did you just play in the... As well as Lego Harry Potter as well, years 1 to 4.
Yeah, I've got that one. We didn't really play any of the games. Well, we had some of them when we were young,
we
didn't
we? We had the first one. And I think you and Mum completed it. I never.
Did on the PlayStation.
Yeah, proper PlayStation. Can't beat proper games consoles.
Yeah. Hey, what's wrong with the 360?
Oh, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's nothing compared to the proper old-school games consoles.
Give me a Mega Drive any day.
I almost bought you a Mega Drive, so shh.
No, you need to buy me a SNES.
Was it a SNES? It was an old-school console.
It was both that was going online. Speaking of buying things online, I bought some off Amazon, Anne, because I felt bad.
Why?
I stepped on the 360 headset, and it'll still work, it just won't go around my head anymore.
Right.
Like, the microphone and headphone will still work, but it won't clip on anymore because the thing snapped. So I bought another one for, like, £3, something like that. So, because I felt bad. All right. All that being aside, this is staying in the show, by the way.
It normally did.
Yeah, ancillary sidebars. Alright, so we had a Philosopher's Stone on PlayStation. I think we might have had the Chamber of Secrets as well, but don't hold me to it. You're playing Lego Harry Potter, aren't you, Anne?
Yes, I have Lego Harry Potter.
And what do you think of that game?
I love it.
I'm addicted to it. I
absolutely love it.
Oh, you're playing as well, are you, Catherine?
Yeah, I got Catherine into it.
Better or not as good as Lego Batman?
I'd probably say just as good.
Just as good?
Yeah.
It's harder for you to fill up the pegs counter than Lego Batman.
Oh, it's an awful lot harder.
But there's more to the level, isn't there?
Yeah, there's more to do, and you're that involved in doing the things in the levels.
Yeah, I mean, there's like a strategy of like the thing with Filch.
Yeah.
That you were I was helping you out with. Because you need like the cloak of invisibility, and you need to distract him.
Yeah, you need to distract him. You need to just do that as well as collect all your pegs, and you just sort of get to the point and you go, what?
It's hard to unlock characters as well.
So. Yes. Whereas in, because I'm not sure who'll be listening that have played him, but you get Lego Batman. And as you play as a character, it unlocks them. Well, but Lego Harry Potter, it doesn't.
Well, not just that. It's like if on the first one, you know, when you beat the first level and to beat Clayface, Clayface is unlocked. I think. Oh, no, when you go through as the villains, you play as Riddler and Clayface, you get Riddler and Clayface unlocked.
See, you don't in Harry. Like, I don't know whether Catherine's got that fair, but you do levels where you are, you're like Hagrid, and you do all sorts of things as Hagrid. But then you can come to play it in whatever mode you want and you still can't play as Hagrid.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
You've got to find his token to go buy him in the shop, to go buy him in Diagon Alley.
Which I think it's a good way of doing things. It's just a bit jarring if you're used to like the Lego Batman one. I don't know how it works in Lego Star Wars or Indiana Jones. I'm not sure how many characters have been in Indiana Jones. You obviously don't have like Salah. You probably have Belloc as well. And these references are lost on you, aren't they?
Oh, gotcha.
Salah was the big guy with the beard. Yeah, anyway. Choking on Doritos.
Choke quietly.
Alright, got my handy bottle of water. When I was outside as we were doing the break, I was thinking about more things from the last Harry Potter movie. The pantomime / indie heel wrestler that was Voldemort. He was such a pantomime villain.
Oh, at the end he was.
Yeah, when Harry was dead. You know, he's there bragging and everything, you know, look what we've done, wait, check us out, motherfuckers, all that shit.
Yeah.
It was basically what he was doing. Cheap heel heat.
Basically.
May as well have come out and said, Hogwarts sucks.
Yeah.
just, but you know, and it felt so out of place. You know, the rest of the movie was like so well done. Well, it felt like this was like the last scene they were doing. They wanted to get it done.
Yeah.
I mean, I draw a comparison with the ending of Star Wars Episode 3, where it's a bit, it basically felt so rushed with Obi-Wan dropping off Princess Leia and with their guardians for Episode 4. And it's basically like, we know where it's going, the fans know where it's going, let's just get it there.
I've never seen it, so don't know what you're on about.
But Star Wars fans all don't know what.
I think I do.
Yeah, you've seen the... Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah. Can't remember it, like, but I've seen it. I remember bits of it.
Well, I've got all six of the Star Wars movies if you ever want to borrow them. I've tried to get Anna to watch the original Star Wars trilogy. She fell asleep just to escaping the Death Star in Episode 4.
Boring. And I was knackered.
Yeah.
I just finished... You know you should never try and get me to watch a new movie after I've just finished work.
Yeah, good point.
For a start, you know that one, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
How many times have we thought I didn't like Red versus Blue because I couldn't sit and watch it?
Because you were falling asleep.
Yeah, because we always watched it at some stupid time in the morning because you couldn't sleep and I could. Tell me I'm wrong.
Shoot!
See, because you can't tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, what's your point?
Didn't say that was what I just said. You can't tell me.
You all seem to have got nicely off subject here. Should we try and bring it back?
Yeah, we should probably.
Does anyone else... Because I feel like I've been leading the question and everything. Does anyone else have any points they want to make about Harry Potter? In general, not just the last movie? You know, not excluding the last movie? Sorry, are we bothering you? Are we keeping you away?
Yeah, you are. Knackered.
Boring.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Thank you, Homer.
Oh, the new soundboard is epic.
You like it?
Yeah.
Alright, Catherine, I'll go to you first. Any other points that you want to bring up about Harry Potter?
Not really, no. Everything that what it's been in the other films kind of is. So I'm not... The only thing I did actually want to be in the film was Dumbledore's funeral.
Yes, they missed that out. That I was quite gutted at myself.
Because that would have been amazing to watch.
It would.
Because you had...
Does Paul know what we're on about here?
Yeah, I've read the books.
Yeah. For those who don't, in the books, Dumbledore had an absolutely amazing send-off.
It was epic.
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. And then in the books, they just missed it all.
In the films?
Yeah, the films, they just missed it all. And...
They just put the block on top of him.
Yeah.
Left him to it.
But his coffin wasn't... I don't know whether you noticed this, Catherine. His coffin wasn't right.
No. It was supposed to be... was it crystal?
Yeah, it was
something like that.
Crystal or glass or something, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. See him, he wasn't buried. He could be still like, on display. Sort of.
Yeah. It was just wrong.
That one. It's got me thinking of... What was his thingy like? What was his...
Yeah, it was just wrong.
Although I did like what they did do in Half-Blood Prince with like all the wizards and everyone like holding up the wands with the light on. And when they saw Dumbledore lying dead and like...
What?
Yeah, with the death of Dumbledore, when like they all saw him lying dead after, you know, he got killed in the tower and everything. It was like led by Professor McGonagall and they all like held the wands up with like the light on.
Yeah.
That was like, I'm gesturing in my own front room here. I'm just holding my arm up like I've got a wand. I'm glad there's no one here. But yeah, that was well done. It looked good there. They didn't get the actual funeral in, but they had that nice moment of everyone showing the respect, even the Slytherin house.
Yeah.
So yeah, the coffin was like crystal or glass, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was supposed to be white marble, but wasn't it white marble in the film?
Yeah, it was.
No, the tomb was white marble, but his coffin was wood.
What? It says here, so I've got the book right in front of me.
Yeah.
Where's that? People screamed, bright flames had erupted around Dumbledore's body, and the table upon which it lay, higher and higher, they rose, obscuring the body. White smoke spiralled into the air and made strange shapes. Harry thought for one heart-stopping moment that he saw a phoenix fly joyfully into the blue. But next second, the fire had vanished, and in his place was white marble tomb encasing Dumbledore's body and a table on which he had rested.
Actually, they had got
no.
But the tomb was white marble.
The tomb was white marble. No, but his coffin was meant to be white marble. The coffin was meant to be white marble, but it wasn't.
We just heard a quote from the book.
Yes, no, but for the book, it entombed his body, meaning the coffin.
No, I mean tomb.
No, because he was still on the table in Hogwarts, so how could that have been his tomb?
And when you're in a tomb, you're not in a coffin.
Yeah, but still, if his body was entombed upon the table which he lay, which was still within Hogwarts.
It was by the lake, wasn't it?
The island in the lake.
Yeah, but then that also explains how the fuck did they get in the entire staffing of Hogwarts, plus every bugger else that knew, on that little piddly island.
Well, the books would say how big the island is, plus we don't know what the scale of the island is. It's not like it's, you know, the island.
No, but we,
like
we
some
saw...
island that
saw,
Bella go off to.
Yeah, but we saw Voldemort stood on it. It's not a massive island.
That part, but yeah, it was at the peak of the hill.
Yeah, which is, like, it still wasn't a big island. You're not getting what I said. It was not a big island. It was a tiny little island.
They're wizards and witches. They might have been on boats around the outside that they magic up. They could have been on broomsticks.
Yeah, but that isn't canon to the book. That's what I'm trying to get.
I actually thought that the funeral wasn't on the island, just...
It wasn't, it was on the shore, because he got brought in on a horse-drawn carriage.
Yeah. And then afterwards, because Ginny it's Harry walks off, and Ginny finds him, and that's when he breaks up with her.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Am I right, Catherine? Or should his coffin...
She's copying.
Catherine.
You cut out there.
I thought there was white marble in the film.
No, the tomb was white marble.
This is confusing.
This is irrelevant.
I thought the whole thing was just white marble, which is what it is in the film.
Yeah, in the book it says it's white marble, in the film it was white marble. Let's let it go at that.
Yeah.
It's not canon!
Okay, Wags.
Am I actually going to get to win this or not?
No.
The book says, the book doesn't mention a coffin and says the tomb was white marble. In the film, the tomb
was white
marble.
It said he was entombed in white marble.
Yeah.
Which doesn't mean the tomb. It means what the body was in. Which the body is not just put loose in a tomb. A body is put in a coffin.
Not if you're going in a tomb or a mausoleum.
It does.
In your mind.
No, it does.
Okay. Well, it's the Wizarding World. They might do things different to us muggles.
But their bodies are still going to rot like ours.
Magic.
No. Magic cannot stop that.
Dumbledore was looking pretty good when Voldemort took him up.
Yes, because he'd been there a few weeks, not even that.
Oh, he'd been there a while. Don't forget they went through all of Christmas. They missed the start of school term for the wedding and got through Christmas, so that's at least three or four months.
Yeah, but still in that long, it's
he just
not
started decomposing.
What?
He just started decomposing. He'd have been at least gooey.
Yeah, but not major decomposing. It yeah, still have looked the same.
Eye and nose would have been gone.
Yeah, but he'd still have looked the same, which is what they went for.
But his nose was still there.
And?
His beard would have been gone, definitely.
His coffin was wrong. I'm leaving it there before I get seriously frustrated and end the call.
He didn't have a coffin.
End the call. End the show, end the call, otherwise I'm going to get seriously, seriously pissed off.
Alright, let's end this quote here. So, Harry Potter, yay! I think that's about the synopsis here. We were going to bring you some of our selections from the previews catalogue for this month, me and Anne were, but I guess Anne's a little too flustered to be doing the previews now.
Anne's a bit too pissed off at the host of the show to be doing the previews now. Anne wants to hurt the host of the show.
I didn't pick up source material. I didn't quote the book.
You argued with the book. You argued with what it said.
I based my opinion on the evidence presented.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I pictured Dumbledore's tomb as how it is portrayed in the film, but other people might portray it differently. You've just got...
Exactly. It's open to interpretation. It's a depiction.
Yeah.
No, you're wrong.
We're just wrong, are we?
Yeah. That's my argument, and I am sticking to it.
You're just wrong.
Well, until The Dark Knight came out, I'd never seen a joke at the lot of the way Heath Ledger looked, but, you know, I didn't say it wasn't canon. Yeah.
You're wrong. You're just wrong.
Well, we'll have to agree to disagree on this one. Okay, what should we have to go out on? What music should we have to go out on?
We've got a theme tune, Hagrid's theme.
No, that's
good. Yeah.
I'm going to have that in the background of the show. That's going to be going on underneath our voices. So, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go with We're Back from Ghostbusters 2.
Okay.
Because we're back, bitches. Alright. On that note.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass!
My name is Smurf.
My name's Anne.
My name is Catherine.
And we'll see you all next time.
Play me out. The world depends. hunt, you ain't tough enough. Looking fat and timid, weak, soft, illiterate. Call yourself a magician, I'm not getting it. You're at the top of my list, you're most wanted. Back to take revenge for the people you haunted. And wanted to be afraid of your tricks and games. But before you do that, remember I'm